Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated General Grabber ATX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, my people? Happy weekend. We are going to start doing a little thing we call the best of, where we take stuff that happened throughout the week, put it on a podcast for a little weekend listening. This weekend, it'll include stuff like Mike Mayock breaking down the draft. Some of my thoughts on Ryan Poles, why I got to give the dude his flowers. And my initial thoughts when the trade happened between the Texans and the Bills with Stephon Diggs, which obviously was the big news of the NFL week. So we will have these moving forward every weekend, at least for the foreseeable future. And see how it goes. But hope you guys enjoy. And yeah, let's rock and roll. Before we dive into it, though, got to tell you about my good friends. Download a little app on your smartphone, and that app is Game Time. They are the official ticketing app of this podcast. You go to any game, baseball, basketball, hockey, concerts, comedy shows, go do something fun and save a little money while you're at it. Your first pair of tickets, use the promo code JOHN, which is my name, J-O-H-N, and save $20. You want to get to a baseball game, get out in the sun, have a few brewskis, do it on me, promo code JOHN, save a little coin, and enjoy yourself. Don't even need a thank you. Download the Game Time app, fastest growing ticketing app in the world, promo code JOHN. Let's talk some football. Yeah, I was looking at some of the athletic testing numbers from J.J. McCarthy he's shorter than Alex Smith, but they're very similar athletes. And I would say JJ, obviously the way he played for Jim Harbaugh would have some parallels the way Alex had a lot of success. The difference I would say is JJ has a better arm. So if Alex would have had a better arm, I mean, he was already a solid player. He might have even been really even a better player. What are your thoughts on JJ McCarthy, who clearly looks like he's going to get drafted really high?
Yeah, I've got an old, you know, just like every old scout, I've got, the only top quarterback I haven't done is JJ McCarthy, because I did a top 100 overall, and he wasn't on my list. This is going back to last August. Okay. So I haven't done him. I find it interesting that, for instance, if you're going to look at Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, I would throw Michael Penix in that group too. I did.
How about his pro day the other day? 4.55. It jumps 36 inches, Mike.
Look
for a pocket quarterback who we know is a great thrower of the ball. He's an athlete.
I don't necessarily think I saw 4.55 on tape, but he is a big, strong, athletic kid that can layer the ball at all three levels. He took a beating against Oregon. He kept on ticking. Why I like him is he wins in the pocket. He can get outside the pocket, but he wins in the pocket. He shuffles, he moves, he keeps his eyes up, and some of his back shoulder stuff is high-level NFL. I mean, he just has a gifted feel back shoulder at all three levels. I don't think, and maybe it's the medical, but the kid's been healthy for two straight years now, and you got to listen to your doctors, but I don't understand why he's not getting more traction out there as a high-level quarterback.
Well, Mike, how do you balance that? Because clearly his tape speaks for itself. He was fantastic. He had several season-ending injuries. I think three. And, you know, he's a little older. You're not a medical professional. So when the trainer goes, well, he's fully healthy. He hasn't missed a game in 2 years. You see him at the pro days running 4.55, jumping. He's clearly healthy right now. Right. But how do you balance that unquantifiable? Well, when he was younger, he got the shit beat out of him and he didn't make it through seasons. Yeah. Now, what if that's never a case? Or what if it crops in immediately? Will that keep you up at night? Because he's clearly, I like him.
You couched it well. And the conversation in the draft room, we'd have our doctors and our trainers and John and I and a couple high-level people in there. And I would be saying what you just said. I'd be like, wait a minute. 4 years in a row at Indiana, he couldn't finish a season. Yet he transfers and starts every game the last two. And from my perspective, he had two ACLs. He had a clavicle, a shoulder. You know, though, if you now, doctor, you tell me the other side of it. I know he hadn't missed a game in 2 years. To me, that means he's clean.
Yeah.
Right. The only way to me you get this kid gets minimized medically is if the doctor pounds the table in your draft room and says, you're not even going to get one contract out of this kid. He's got a bad knee or a bad shoulder. If the doctor doesn't say that, then this kid's got to be given a clean bill of health.
Agreed.
And to be, I mean, there every year there are a couple of kids that are tough. I mean, the starting guard for Kansas City from Tennessee, Smith.
Trey Smith, yeah.
Trey Smith. I mean, he was a first or second round pick on every board, right? And John and I both wanted him. And our doctors told us point blank, no. He's got a heart issue that could be an awful situation if it turned the wrong way. We can't take him. And meanwhile, you get into the fifth or sixth round and Kansas City's taking him. And, you know, he started every game since and you're pulling your hair out.
So how do you balance, let's use him as an example. Is he just a complete off the board, or like you get to a point like, what do we even care? It's a fifth round.
Yeah, if it wasn't a heart, I think what you just said would be true. Like, okay, we get to the sixth round and let's take a flyer on a kid that could be a Pro Bowl player. I think our doctors, and I'm being respectful here, I think our doctors at that point were saying, wait a minute, if this thing went wrong in the wrong direction, we could have something awful. And I don't think we want to put that kid at risk for that. So we're in the fifth or sixth round and John and I both want this kid, but they're telling us no.
You've watched every top quarterback on film over the last 2.5 decades. Caleb's been a well-discussed player for years now. What's What are your just thoughts on the overall prospect?
Yeah,
and where would you rank him with some of the top guys over the years? You know, the Staffords, the Lux, the Trevor Lawrences, just the no brainer number one guys.
I don't know. That's a good question. Here's what I tell you. I think about him. He's my number one guy this year. I wish I'd seen him personally up close, because I have not been in the same room or the same building with him. And I don't like it when I don't see quarterbacks throw the ball live. I'm doing everything off tape now. But having said all those things, I don't know how thick his frame is up top, but he's got a strong lower body. You can see that on tape. He runs through a lot of tackles. He's strong in the pocket. What I love about him is forget all the fancy stuff, all the off-balance throws, off-platform throws, his escapes, his scrambles. You got to win inside the pocket to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL. And this kid wins in the pocket. He's got his eyes stay up. He's got a natural feel. He took a beating this year, way more than he did in 22. And did he make some throws he probably wants to have back? Yeah, but he was trying to win football games. He was taking more chances. He was getting sacked more. And you can knock him on all those things. I see a competitor that can make every throw at every level. He's stronger than you would think he is. And I think he's a high-level potential franchise quarterback.
What about the next couple guys? Because it's kind of up in the air who's going to be the number two pick. How would you rank Drake May and Jaden Daniels?
The Jaden Daniels thing, you know how, John, when you're watching tape and you're not really sure what to expect and you put the tape in, you go out. And the more you watch, the more you're going, holy crap, this is really fun. That's how I was with Jaden Daniels. The more I watched from his legs perspective, it reminded me of Lamar Jackson when he came out. Like, he was as fast as he needed to be. He was not only running away from linebackers, he's running away from corners and safeties that have angles on them. You can't just make a decision that you're going to draft a guy because of his legs, but his accuracy on the deep ball, he had 55 starts. I'm a little worried about his upper body frame, but again, I think Daniels is really talented. Drake May had 26 starts. You know what's interesting, John? You ought to go back, if you haven't already, take a look at North Carolina State. They're getting beat up in the second half. And one of my frustrations with him is that I felt like he was overly protective of the football at times, not throwing with anticipation, not throwing guys open, trusting his legs when things broke down instead of waiting to see if that second or third progression works. They get down like 16 or 18 against NC State. Offensive plays, I want to say like 33 to 48 or 50. There's a collection of plays in there where he does all the things I just talked about him not doing. He throws guys open. He throws with anticipation. He runs when he has to. He takes a couple shots in the pocket, gets up and makes another play. And the only reason he was doing it is because they were behind and he had to try to find ways to make a play. And if you can do it in those situations, I believe you can do it beyond that. So yeah. I like Drake May. I think I like Jaden Daniels a little bit more. I like Michael Penix in that conversation. And then, you know, you talked about McCarthy, a couple of guys that, you know, people are talking about Bo Nix as a first-round pick, and I didn't see that. I don't feel like his physical traits match up with those other guys. And two guys that I think we don't hear enough about are Spencer Rattler and Michael Pratt from Tulane. Like, I would put those two guys with Bo Nix, to be honest with you.
Safe to say second round guys.
For me, Rattler and Pratt would be second day guys. And I think Rattler's talent is second round all day long. I mean, if you put the Georgia tape on, you know, and they're leading or tied or whatever it was at halftime. I mean, it's all him. He was getting the crap beat out of him with a bad offensive line by University of Georgia, and he just kept making plays. Now, in the second half, he got the crap beat out of him, and so did they. But he just kept trying to make plays. I think he's got arm talent. I think he's athletic. I think he can escape pressure. I like Rattler, and Michael Pratt is he's not quite as electric, but I think he throws with anticipation and timing, and he'll be a quality backup if not get a chance to start somewhere.
I'm with you on the Jaden Daniels. I threw on the Malik Nabers cut up, and it's hard not to watch the quarterback. I mean, he throws the accuracy, but you know about the athleticism. I would say a lot like Lamar got very, I mean, he's lucky in the sense that he got to go to the Ravens, a high-level operation with a high-level coach and good defense. I mean, who you are as a quarterback, especially a dual-threat quarterback, and same thing with Drake May, right? I mean, I think some comps are a little bit like Josh Allen. I think Josh is more physically gifted, but in the sense, needs a lot of work, but there's a lot there to work with. But I'd say Josh is somewhat of an outlier of a guy that maximized all those things. Yep. Whenever you draft a guy at that position specifically that just – you're just not quite sure. Isn't that a pretty risky proposition? Because the one knock on Jaden is he's thin. I know he weighed in at 210. Most people think he weighs 195 pounds probably.
Right.
But he has done it at the highest level against the best competition in the SEC. I turned on that NC State game. I remember in the middle of the year, all this hype. And you're watching that middle stretch of the season. You're like, what am I missing here? And but clearly, because when people talk about him, some of the first things they say, well, he's 6'4", 230. Right. I mean, if that's the first thing you say about him, that's, what about, his accurate, his anticipation. Right. So it's a polarizing group. I don't want to keep you all day, but obviously the wide receiver class is pretty good. And I think I'm from Northern California, the Sacramento area. So Napa's right up the road. To go from Napa High School to Georgia and on a team with 700 NFL players, most of whom they got drafted really high and immediately be one of their best players. I think Brock Bowers is one of the better college players I've seen in recent memory. And at that level, if the Chargers were to get stuck at 5, which is possible, right? If the 4 quarterbacks go,
right,
they're going to have their pick of the litter. They don't need a left tackle. So I'm sure he could probably play right tackle, but the wide receiver or Bowers, I would put Bowers right there with the wide receivers in terms of what I've seen. What's your thoughts on Brock Bowers?
Yeah, I think more and more, my buddy Daniel Jeremiah calls it kind of a positionless NFL right now, and I agree with him. Like, I don't care what label you put on wide out X, Y, Z, or tight end Y, F, whatever. I don't care about the label. He's a playmaker, okay? And you're going to be creative in ways you use them, just like San Francisco does with their tight end out of Iowa, Kittle. Similar kind of size, body type to Bowers. Bowers is a baller, and whether it's making catches against corners, safeties, and linebackers, running away from people, using his body, what I like is he'll even line up in line and compete. And I don't think he's going to make a living in line in the NFL, but he'll compete. And that just, and as a former scout, John, you and I, we're looking for competitors, right? We're looking for guys that compete their asses off. And that's what he's a gifted dude in the pass game, and he will compete in the run game. Is he a top 10 pick? I think on paper, talent-wise, yes, he is. And I don't care what you call him, but it's a little bit you mentioned Lamar Jackson a minute ago, and you said it's lucky Baltimore drafted him. Well, to Baltimore's credit, they've created a whole offensive scheme around what he does well.
Sure.
That's what Greg Roman was good at. That's what, some of the things they did to put Lamar in position to win. And that's the same thing with Bowers. You got to put him in position to win. You got to take advantage of what he does really well, and that's win in the pass game. And I think he's special.
Would you be comfortable taking him above the other 3 wideouts if you were in a position if you could take either?
I love Nabers. I love Marvin Harrison. Adunze is I have Adunze just a notch below those two, and I think Bowers as a weapon. I think you could lump him in there, but again, the caveat is if you're going to take a guy at 4 or 5 or 8 or even if you're going to take that tight end somewhere in there or that wide out, you better find ways to get him the football. You can't just draft him and say, go block the defensive end and pass protection. We're not doing that.
Okay, I'll get you out of here on this. Most years, they're just, littered with defensive players, whether it's, a couple corners, some pass rushers, Myles Garrett, Nick Bosa, whoever. It doesn't really feel like that in this draft. Who's a defensive player that you just go, I don't think we're talking about him as much. And sometimes it's because the quarterbacks suck up so much oxygen. But it legitimately, I mean, there's a chance the defensive player does not go in the top 10, which would be kind of crazy, but it definitely is on the table right now.
I think there's some edge rushers that are exciting. You know, the Dallas Turner from Alabama, the kid from Penn State, Chop Robinson. I think the Latu from UCLA, he's gifted. You know, I mean, he's a big, strong kid that can play on either side. He can play with his hand down. He can stand up. He can drop. He's an athletic kid. I like him a lot. Verse from Florida State. I think any of those guys are worthy of talking about. The linebacker from A&M? Is it Cooper? Boy, is he fun to watch on tape. And the two corners that I really like are Turian Arnold from Alabama, and a kid that I don't think people are talking enough about is a Lassiter kid from Georgia. I mean, I think he was he and Arnold were my two top rated corners, and I'm seeing a lot of second round grades on him. And I think he's a better player than that.
What do you think the keys are? One more question at corner now. I mean, living it day to day like you did, is that, I've always thought the top end speed, it's hard to be a slow corner. Obviously you can get away with it a little bit in certain type defenses, but still you're going to get put in position. The level of talent at wide receiver in the NFL right now has to be top to bottom, never been deeper. It's hard to kind of hide when you're a high 4.5, low 4.6 guy. Is that a make or break number for you that you need to have some speed at a certain number cut off you're not touching?
Yeah, I try not to get too heavy on the cutoff on the numbers. I want to know what they ran. More importantly, I think in today's world of back shoulder throws, is can a corner find the ball with his back to the quarterback? And the other thing is, I think you got to be cognizant of what your defensive coaches are asking your corners to do. You know, are you a single high team playing off and mostly zone concept, cover one, cover three? Or are you going to be a press team? Or are you going to do a little bit of both? And I think once you answer all those questions and you know what your defensive coaches are looking for, the fit is the most important thing. I mean, I've played with some corners that are 4.55 that just have a great feel for the game and they don't look 4.55. But the hardest thing to find, I always thought, is when the corner's back is turned, you're a press corner and you're running with the receiver, and it can either be a go, a fade, or a comeback back shoulder. All the advantages go to the wide out and the quarterback. Can you find the football, whether it's a deep throw or on the back shoulder? And a lot of these guys, no matter how gifted they are, they can't find it. And if you can't find it, ultimately you're going to get exposed.
Yeah, I've always thought instincts are an attribute you can't quantify, but in a lot of positions, you either have it or you don't. It separates the men from the boys, you know, at the highest level. Well, Mike, what time's your tea time tomorrow?
Probably 9 a.m., John.
9 a.m. Well, enjoy. I cannot thank you enough for doing this, and, you know, respect the hell out of you, and enjoy this next couple weeks leading up to the draft, and have a great summer.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches. I got to do somewhat of a 180 because the first year I was really hard on this guy. And I had heard really good things. Obviously, knowing the guys from Kansas City, everyone really liked Ryan Poles. Just high-level guy, had a front row seat and been a big part of everything the Chiefs did in their personnel department. But people just really liked him. And kind of, I always heard like humble, kind of low-key guy. And then his first introduction as the Bears GM, he said something that I was like, oh my God. He said, basically, we're going to take back the North. Then, within his first year, he's trading for Chase Claypool. I think if he could, he would walk back the statement on the North and obviously the trade of Chase Claypool. Now, I give anyone a little bit of leeway early on a job. I don't care what you do. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have things you would like to take back. And as a GM in a very public job, we get to see all those mistakes and warts. There are things I'd like to take back that no one will ever know. Just like if you're listening, there are things when you started a company, when you first started working for somebody, when you first started dating someone, maybe your first marriage, a bad breakup, you would like to change. You don't get to do that. But for the most part, it's not public. Ryan Poles, the last, I would say, 12 to 18 months, has been one of the best GMs in the league. And every time I watch him talk, if you just watch him on McAfee, I went and watched his interview with the local press at the owners' meetings. You go, this guy's really, really impressive. And this is the guy, the way he communicates, the way he carries himself, is the guy that I had heard about with the Chiefs. And one thing he said at the owners' meetings, which I don't think a lot of teams do, and I think a lot of times in the NFL, scouts can feel like independent contractors. They're just out on the road collecting all this information. They're kind of part of the draft meetings, but ultimately, they feel kind of irrelevant. The coach, the GM are going to do whatever they want to do. Thanks for collecting the information. We're paying you $150,000. Keep on working, man. And you just feel like, and I know I used to feel like this, what am I even doing? Like, what's the point of all this? And Ryan Poles said that when they get back, I don't know if their draft meetings start this week or next week, they're going to split their scouting staff into teams and basically argue what they should do with the 9th pick. Some people are going to argue for offensive linemen. Some people are going to argue over wide receivers. Some people are going to argue over defensive players. And obviously trading back, they have a limited number of picks this year because of previous trades, is an option. But I do think empowering the people you work with is very, very important. Because to get the most out of anybody, like money goes so far. Whether I pay you $50,000, whether I pay you $5 million. If you don't feel like the work you're doing matters, you're not going to get the best out of that individual. And I don't think it's shocking that an offensive lineman, who, let's face it, they're very team-oriented,
Harbaugh, Jim did at the owners' meetings, went on this long kind of diatribe of the importance of the offensive lineman, right? No other position is dependent on everybody else quite like them, and they get no credit. They really do. And if they fuck up, we all see it and crush them. But if they do well, no one really mentions them. It's like, yeah, they should have. And I think typically those guys, one, they've always made good coaches. But two, anyone who's ever met a college or an NFL offensive line, they're typically pretty smart guys. They're pretty well-rounded guys. And I've always had the theory of they get yelled at the most. They're constantly getting yelled at by their coach. More than I would say any other position, offensive and defensive linemen, but specifically offensive linemen. And they are also tasked with the job of protecting the highest paid guy and the most important guy in the quarterback. So not shocking that Ryan Poles understands the importance of inclusion with the staff. Now, I'm not saying this exercise of including these guys is going to lead to a better draft pick, but I do think it's very important. And I think if you never would because these guys can't go on record, but just went around the NFL and talked to individual scouts on individual teams, a lot of them would say, yeah, I know my job is important. They need me to do what I'm doing. But sometimes I don't feel that important. And one thing specifically, like position coaches in the NFL, historic amount of money. A wide receiver coach in the NFL makes $600,000-$700,000. Both coordinators making millions. D-line, O-line coaches make seven figures. Tight end coaches, I mean, random coaches are making $400,000-$500,000. The pay scale for scouts is nowhere near that. I mean, there are a ton of scouts all over the NFL, especially the younger ones, making under $100,000. Yet their job is to accumulate this information on first and second and third round picks. But they're not compensated like coaches. And it's a huge thing that scouts talk about a lot, that they feel underpaid. Most industries, I mean, listen, most of my friends do not work in sports. I'm not exactly in the media crew. Work in the private sector, have been making a lot of money for a long time because you start at a much higher rate. In scouts, you don't make anything to start with. And same thing with coaches, but even a quality control coach, the lowest guy on the totem pole, typically starts like $80,000, $90,000. That's not the case. So including people in your operation, to me, always leads to a healthier building, a place where people want to work. I stopped watching the Dynasty. I just think it kind of pisses me off, the treatment of Belichick. Now, they didn't really talk about this in the documentary, but I know it's true because I know a lot of people were. Belichick did not care what any of the scouts thought. That's why a lot of scouts were pretty miserable there. Didn't pay well, and he did not give a crap what you thought. Now, there was a benefit to working for the Patriots over a 20-year span. You became a Super Bowl champion, and when you interviewed other places, I worked for Bill Belichick. I was a part of Super Bowl teams. I kind of have a piece of the secret sauce. I'm not talking coaches. I'm talking scouts. And a lot of them have gone on to other jobs and made a lot more money because of it. But he was not very inclusive at all. So props to Ryan Poles for getting that part of it. And I'm pretty excited to watch where the Bears are going.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Okay, we had some breaking news on Wednesday morning. Thing with the NFL, I think this modern day, last 3 or 4 years, it has really upped its game in the constant drama, in the constant offseason moves. The personnel guys, high-level players flying team to team at all hours of the night, at, you know, before free agency, after free agency, and through the draft, let's face it, is really amped up, which is fantastic for us to talk about football, because the drama brewing with Diggs now has been a couple years. This is not out of left field. This is not like I'm just going to pick a player. The Cowboys just traded CeeDee Lamb. Seattle traded DK Metcalf. That would be, didn't see that one coming. This one, not shocking because he's been on the trade block before. Now, I want to dive into the move. I think two things can be true. One, this is a blow for the Bills. I'm going to read you some stats. 127, 103, 108, 107, 8, 11, 10, and 8. Those were his catches and his touchdowns the last 4 years on the Buffalo Bills. He has been a fantastic, productive player in a place, let's face it, they've been playing late into the season. Not an easy place to play. It's freezing cold. I mean, the weather is a massive, massive factor. And this guy's proven to be a high-level outdoor player, a high-level big-game player. I know he dropped the ball in the playoff game against the Chiefs. But Diggs has been fantastic. There's no way around it, even with the drama. And drama has been going on with star wide receivers for a long period of time. It's been going on with this player. Why do you think Minnesota moved on for him? He was good for Minnesota. I guess his last year was a little down, but the year before he had 102 catches. Now, they did one of the great win-win trades in recent memory. They traded him straight up essentially for Justin Jefferson. It worked out for both parties. But this is, I'm not going to act like this isn't a blow to the Bills. They just traded one of, I don't know, their second or third best player. Many would argue their second best player. But here's where I feel really, really confident is every single person, universally, whether you're a fan of football, whether you talk about football, I'm not talking about people in the league. I'm just talking about people that millions upon millions of people that are texting with their buddies right now. People like me that talk about football for a living. Not me, but most of you. We'll go, oh, the Bills, they're in trouble. They've cut half their roster. They just traded Diggs. Down year for the Bills. And listen, they might not be as good as they've been. But here's what I will not do. I will not pick against the Bills to win the AFC East. I just won't. Why? Because I view them a little bit like an NBA team. When you have Luka, when you have Giannis, when you have an elite player, and even if your team's a little questionable, I'm not betting against you until you lose.
And when you lose, I'll tip my hat to the other team. Why? Because unless they play Patrick Mahomes, they have the best player on the field every single game who plays the most important position. He's the second best quarterback in the NFL. I know Lamar Jackson has won multiple MVPs. I'm sorry, Josh Allen is better. No shade at Lamar. He's the third best quarterback.
Ask the Chiefs. I have. Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, the players. Who scares them more? Who has given them more trouble in the big games? It's Josh Allen. Now, they are going to have to figure this out on the fly. Look at a team a couple years ago that did that. Tyreek Hill, better player than Diggs, and they pivoted. Now, they had Travis Kelce, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I also think your division matters. If you told me the Bills played in the AFC North, I'd be like, I don't know if their roster is good enough. If Burrow's healthy, obviously the Ravens. If the Steelers ever get competent quarterback play, the Browns roster is still pretty good, even though Deshaun Watson's a major question mark. You'd be like, that's really hard. I think it's going to be a struggle. They play in the AFC East. I'm sorry. I think the Patriots are borderline laughingstock right now. I really do. Starts with ownership. Robert Kraft, a legend when he had Belichick, but everything that's transpired since, I'm short in that organization in the short term. I just am. Their roster stinks. They have a first-time head coach who's only been coaching a couple years. The transition to taking over for a legend, and I know the team's been down a little bit, but I'm sorry. I think the Patriots are not going to be very good. I think the Dolphins, to me, this is a blinking neon sign of like, hey, let's take a deep breath. We're not going to extend Tua. If we can't win the division this year with this guy, he's not worth $200 million. We can't do it. We know he's not as good as Josh Allen. We know he's not as good as Patrick Mahomes. We know he's not as good as Lamar Jackson. And he never will be. It's impossible. He does not have the physical capability. You could argue he's been solid, which he has. He's been better than I thought he would be as a pro. But I've seen him in the big games. We saw last year with it all on the line. And he kind of crumbled like a cookie. There's no way around it. So under no circumstances do I think, as long as you got Tua and they got Josh Allen, whether they got me or they got you playing for them, am I going to take Tua over a Josh Allen-led team? It's not going to happen. Who has been consistently winning? Who still has a lot of guys who have played on these teams the last couple years? I'm not doing it. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. And the Jets, who in theory have a roster full of high-priced, former Pro Bowlers, bright lights, high picks, all these guys have long injury histories, the older players. I mean, the linchpin of the whole operation, the quarterback, is 40 years old coming off an Achilles injury. Their coaching staff, we have no clue if it's any good. And I'm talking about their head coach. I know their offensive coordinator isn't good. Now, he could be masked if Rodgers is an elite player, but he hasn't been an elite player in a couple years. Even before the injury, it was kind of questionable. And now he's coming off a major injury, even if it's not as catastrophic as it once was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. He's 40 years old. And we have recent examples of older guys not named Tom Brady falling off a cliff. So I can't, in good conscience, pick the Jets. So I'm still picking the Bills to win this division, even if they have a lot of question marks with their offensive skill guys. And they're clearly probably going to be in the mix to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Luckily, really good wide receiver class. Really good. So I think when you look at the overreaction from the Bills, they're screwed. They're done. Well, they have a team that's dominated the last 4 years in the regular season, won this division 4 straight years, and like I said, have the second best quarterback in the NFL. Has a guy in the playoffs who is fantastic, let alone just big regular season games. When everyone's going to go left, I'm sorry, I'm going right. You're going to pick the Miami Dolphins and Tua to win this? They had it mapped out the last 2 years and could not get it done. And a large reason was his average play down the stretch. He can't play outside. He cannot play in the cold weather. The Chiefs, who played in one of the coldest games of all time in that first-round playoff game, when they woke up that morning and saw the weather, they knew even if they didn't have a great game, the other team had no shot. They didn't have a snowball's chance in hell to beat them.
And it played out that way. So, and the Patriots, even if things go well, they're going to have a rookie quarterback. So I think the overreaction of the Bills is going to be predictable, but I'm not buying it. I'm really not. And on the flip side with the Houston Texans, this just shows you, man, like David Culley and Lovie Smith kind of crawled through the sewer and the shit like Andy Dufresne to get out for D'Amico and C.J. Stroud. And now they're in a position where they have a quarterback who just had one of, if not the best rookie season by some metrics he did, who clearly, the eye test, statistically, every metric just looks like a star. Now, part of being a star is doing it over and over, so he's going to have to prove that now everyone's gunning for him, that he can do it. I don't see how you would bet against it till proven otherwise. D'Amico has been a rocket ship since he was a player. Anyone who spent any time around D'Amico as a player knew this guy was special. Not shocking that he's gone on to be a elite position coach, one of the best coordinators we've seen in recent memory, and then a star head coach. And now they have a roster that's really good. And I've always said this about the Cowboys. Players want to live in Texas. It has no state income tax. A lot of guys in the league are from southern states. The problem, the Cowboys, who are the brightest lights team, I'm not saying the results. I'm just saying the brand, the power, the money that comes with it, never have any free agency money. Rarely do big things in free agency because they're paying their own players a lot of money, including the quarterback. Well, because a lot of the Texans' better players are on rookie deals, what happened this offseason? They got really, really aggressive. Really aggressive. And everyone's going to pick them, rightfully so, to win this division. And if things come together, I don't think it's out of the realm possibility that they could compete with the Chiefs and the Ravens. So this is a team that the trajectory is pointing right at the moon right now. And the only question is, how do you handle it? Because last year, they got to sneak up on a lot of people. Like the Lions a couple years ago. Even the Lions a little bit this year. In 2024, no one's sleeping on those teams. Everybody is taking them seriously. You're getting every team's best shot. And when you win your division, you get a harder schedule than when you've been shitty. But this is why Caserio, I mean, last year when they moved up to get Will Anderson, they get a guy who's a dog. I mean, who's a badass. Might never be Myles Garrett or Nick Bosa, but he's a guy that you can go to war with. He's wired the right way. Same thing with C.J. Stroud. Same thing with Tank Dell. Now, Diggs is a little bit of a question mark in terms of he can be a lot. So, but you have to take some of these flyers. And Caserio, who was with Bill for a long time, what did New England do? They built their core of guys, high character, never had to worry about all ball, 24/7, no drama. And then occasionally they drop in a guy. And it would work because what are you going to do? Either shape in or shape out. Now, they got, I would say, relatively bold. They gave a second-round pick in 2025, which is equivalent of a third-round pick right this upcoming draft. Time value money, right? A pick later is not worth the same as a pick now. And they basically traded a second-round pick for Diggs and a couple late-round picks. But totally understand why they did it. To get a more explosive offense, to go with some of their younger wide receivers, to go with their young quarterback. And because they have the cap flexibility, because their players are on rookie deals. The power of a rookie deal isn't just, we got rookie deals. It's when you get high-level players on rookie deals. I don't care if I have a quarterback on a rookie deal if he stinks or he's average. Having Mac Jones on a rookie deal, who cares? Not any good. Kenny Pickett, not any good. Right? The power of Brock Purdy, he's a top three or four quarterback immediately in the NFC. By some metrics, he was the best. That's the power. And C.J. Stroud, immediately a top three or four quarterback in the AFC. Second pick in the draft makes $7, $8 million instead of $40, $45 million. It gives you a lot of wiggle room. And this is why you bet on the coaching staff, on the players that you draft that are just high-level dudes. So I'm telling you, everyone is going to bury the Bills, not me. I'm just not doing it. I'm not saying I'm going to be right, But as long as you got Josh Allen in that division, I'm picking you to win it. I just, till I'm proven wrong. And the Texans, it's just, you'd be a fool if you're not excited as a football fan to watch this squad play. I mean, they have not only got more physical, but adding this explosive playmaker to the group that they already had, to that quarterback, feels like sky's the limit. The other thing is they have to go, like, their division. They're going up against the Colts, who have a team full of, like, just solid guys, and a quarterback that we know nothing about. Now, they brought in Flacco, and we've seen Shane Steichen be a really good, you know, head coach slash play caller. So they're going to be a problem if the quarterback is solid. The Jags have a lot of question marks. The main one is Trevor Lawrence any good? And the Titans, who splurged a lot in free agency. But let's face it, their biggest question mark is the question mark that you want to avoid at all costs. Do they have a quarterback? What's the deal? Can Will Levis play? Because if Will Levis can't play or is just average, like somewhere between 20 and 32 as a starting quarterback this year, they have no shot. Period, point blank, end of story. They have no shot. I don't care how good Ridley is. I don't care how good Tony Pollard is. I don't care how awesome L'Jarius Sneed is, who claims his knee's just fine. So the Texans, now the heavy favorite to win that division again. And the Bills, I'm telling you, just bet against them all you want. Your boy right here will not.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.